So Isaiah chapter 38, and you see we're talking about the King Hezekiah that I mentioned before. Hezekiah was king during the time of the Assyrian invasion around the year 700 BC. So Isaiah 38, let's give your attention to the Word of God. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, O Lord, remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria and will defend this city. This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has promised. Behold, I will make the shadow cast by the declining sun on the dial of Ahaz turn back 10 steps. So the sun turned back on the dial the 10 steps by which it had declined. A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after he had been sick and recovered from his sickness. I said, in the middle of my days I must depart. I am consigned to the gates of Sheol for the rest of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord in the land of the living. I shall look on man no more among the inhabitants of the world. My dwelling is plucked up and removed from me like a shepherd's tent. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life. He cuts me off from the loom. From day to night, you bring me to an end. I calmed myself until morning. Like a lion, he breaks all my bones. From day to night, you bring me to an end. Like a swallow or a crane, I chirp. I moan like a dove. My eyes are weary with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Be my pledge of safety. What shall I say? For he has spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I walk slowly all my years because of the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these is the life of my spirit. Now restore me to health and make me live. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but in love you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction. You have cast all my sins behind your back. For Sheol does not thank you. Death does not praise you. Those who go down to the pit do not hope for your faithfulness. The living, he thanks you, as I do this day. The Father makes known to the children your faithfulness. The Lord will save me. And we will play my music on stringed instruments all the days of our lives at the house of the Lord. Now Isaiah had said, let them take a cake of figs and apply it to the boil that he may recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? So as we preach this series on difficult times, Hunter and I have deliberately set up a pair of pairs. We preached a pair of sermons on people being besieged. And he got the one where people were miraculously delivered. And I got the one where people were delivered in a more ordinary way. Make the point that God can deliver by many different means. And this pair is a pair on illness. I preached a couple weeks ago on Paul, how he had a thorn in his flesh. And he prayed 3 times for God to take it away, and the Lord did not take it away. He said, my grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. But here, by contrast, King Hezekiah is healed. And I've been struck by how significant Hezekiah is in the Scripture. If we can assume that if you get the same thing taught you several times in Scripture, it's probably deliberate to give you great emphasis on it. 3 times in Scripture, we learn about Hezekiah and the Assyrian invasion and the amazing, miraculous deliverance that they had in his illness and the envoys from Babylon. You get that in 2 Kings, you get it in 2 Chronicles, and you get it here in the middle of Isaiah. So as I preach, I'm going to bring a few details in from those other two accounts that we have, as you get a couple different details from Kings and from Chronicles. But what we can see in all the accounts is this. Hezekiah was gravely ill at a terrible time. We're told he's at the point of death in those days, but we're not told what those days were. But if we look at the years of his reign a little bit, we can say about when this happened. We're told he was given another 15 more years. All right? And we're told that he reigned for 29 years. All right? So if you do 29 minus 15, he's more or less at the 14th year of his reign. That may be approximate. But what happened in the 14th year of his reign is Assyria invaded Judah, conquered all their fortified cities except for Jerusalem. And you can tell that you're at that moment of crisis because when God is promising to save his life, he also mentions, and I will defend the city. Something that you wouldn't have to probably say after the miraculous deliverance from the Assyrian army. So we're at a moment either of crisis or if you know the crisis is coming. Because they've rebelled against Assyria, you know that they're coming. And just when you want your king to be strong, he is sick. At the point of death. And then it gets worse when Isaiah, now an old prophet, who's been around a long time, whose prophecies to Hezekiah's father Ahaz came true. So you're confident that this is a true prophet of God. He comes and he says, thus says the Lord, put everything in order, for you will not recover. You need to note that the scripture praises Hezekiah for everything that he's done up to this point. So far, at this point in his career, the scripture records nothing negative and a great deal positive. He had turned the people back to God. He had opened up the temple after it had been closed. He had reorganized the priests and the Levites. You read about that in great detail in Chronicles. And you notice Isaiah is not barred. He has no trouble getting in to see Hezekiah. They're not consulting other gods. The true prophet gets right in to give him a message. And so here's Hezekiah. He's about 40 years of age. He's a God-fearing king in a great crisis. And at this time, in God's providence, the prophet comes and says, you're going to die. So Hezekiah prays. He prays. He turns his face to the wall. We don't know. It's probably in his bed, in his bedroom. So he turns his face to the wall to be as private as he can as king. And he weeps. He says, remember, Lord, I have walked before you faithfully. What a blessing to be able to pray that. To have it recorded without irony. Not many who could have that said, and we all sin. But there are a few who can say, yes, I know I sinned, and yet I do strive. The Apostle Paul says this, I have always tried to have a clear conscience before God. And that's what he says. I have walked before you in faithfulness and remember. And we understand his tears. For 14 years, he's worked to set his kingdom back on the right track after his wicked father had driven it way off the right track. And now, just when they're facing invasion, when the political bill is due, he has to be sick now. He says, my Lord, remember my faithfulness. And the Lord heard him. He sent Isaiah back with a new message. I've heard you, I'll heal you, I'll defend the city, and you have 15 more years coming. Puts him in an unusual position of knowing he's got 15 years. Most of us don't know that. And he didn't make him wait for it. It says in one of the other accounts that Isaiah was still in the middle court. He's out of the king's bedroom. He's walking out of the palace. But he hadn't gotten out of the palace yet. And before he's in the palace, out of the palace, he has to turn back around. Excuse me, fellas. I need another appointment. And go back in. And say, thus says the Lord, I have seen your tears. It's a remarkable thing for the Lord to overturn, not just the illness, but his own prophecy that he sent his prophets to give. And so we're to be encouraged by that, that the Lord hears our prayers. He doesn't always answer this way. But he hears our prayers, and he's well able to answer this way. He's able and willing to reverse, send Isaiah back with a different message 10 minutes after that he gave the first one. It's worth noticing that together with this new message, Isaiah gave a sign and something for the servants to do. That gets noted at the end of this chapter, but it's obvious from the other accounts that this came at the same time that he's speaking to Hezekiah. He told the servants to make a cake of figs and apply it to the boil. Anyway, this miraculous cure also made use of their medicinal means. God decided, I'm going to heal you, and I want to heal you through the instrumentality, through the use of this cake of figs. One takeaway might be, it's not that you either go to the doctor or you pray to God, it's that you go to God and you go to the doctor. That you pray, and you go to the doctor and pray that what he does for you would be effective. And Hezekiah asked for a sign. Thank you, Isaiah, for coming back with a different message, but how do I know that this new one is the correct one? I mean, you were just here with the other one. There's a couple places in Philadelphia where you get to see a sundial. I think there's one at Longwood Gardens. I know there's one at Fairmount Park. Sundials way back before you have clocks. But you have this little flat area where a shadow can be cast, and you have this pointy, uppy thing, and then you like figure out and you mark on it when the sun is over here, it's 7 a.m., and so on, and you work it around. I don't know how you count for different seasons. All right, but you have these sundials. And so Ahaz has set one up, his father. And so Isaiah says, thus says the Lord, what do you want for a sign? Do you want the shadow to keep going on down, or do you want the shadow to come back up? This guy said, well, it's after lunch. It's supposed to keep getting longer. That won't mean anything. Let the shadow get shorter in the afternoon. And somehow, so it was. We would like to know how, but he doesn't tell us that. Just the shadow got shorter. And so he had assurance that this remarkable reversal was, in fact, the will of God, and that he would recover, and that he would go up in 3 days to worship in the temple. So, did he live happily ever after? Well, if you were here this morning, you hear a little echo of this morning's message. It's more complicated than saying that he lived happily ever after. He wrote this prayer that we have, and the prayer looks very good. It's right in Scripture. Looks like a good prayer. It's very psalm-like. So it probably tells us how to use the psalms in our own prayers, how they make the psalmist language our language as we pray to God. You can look at this prayer in your study Bible. You see all these cross-references back to Psalms and so on. He writes a beautiful prayer. And yet it says in Chronicles that he became proud and did not give God return for the healing that he had received. Which is a funny thing. You're like, well, he gave us this nice prayer here. How is that not a return? But apparently the message is that words are one thing, but the Lord wants more than simply words. He wants an attitude of the Spirit. And Chronicles said he became proud. That would seem to be the explanation of then chapter 39, if we were to go on and read it. When envoys come from Babylon, that far away, but not all that far away, ancient, wealthy, and powerful place that sometimes gets strong and conquers people. And they send these envoys, and Hezekiah shows them all the treasures that he has, which doesn't seem terribly strategic. But it would appear to be him trying to say, you know, you're big boys, but I'm a big boy too. Look at all that I have. Seems like an act of prayer, since it doesn't seem like an act of strategy. And he became hard-hearted about Israel's future. Isaiah was sent to him again. Who are these guys, and where did they come from, and what did they see? Well, they came from Babylon. Yeah, and what did they see? They saw everything. In Isaiah, at the end of chapter 39, I have to say, thus says the Lord, the days will come when all of that and your sons will be dragged off to Babylon. Your sons will be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And Hezekiah says, that's fine. Because it's going to be after he's dead. And this is the Lord's anointed king. Maybe the worst thing is this. His son Manasseh becomes king at age 12. Now if you become king at age 12, then he's presumably conceived after this illness. Since Hezekiah has 15 more years to live. And Manasseh rules longer than anyone else in Judah, and he is worse than anyone else in Judah. It's his sins that are so bad that the scripture says after his reign, the exile was inevitable. You might have thought it strange that the best king had the worst son. Perhaps Manasseh began to absorb more of his father's pride than of his prior devotion. Or perhaps, since we're always quick to draw lessons, perhaps he drew the wrong lesson. God said we're going into exile, then I guess we need new gods. Which is the wrong lesson. He should have drawn this lesson. Even when you're told you're going to die, you can pray. And the Lord may extend your life. So Hezekiah, his prayer was healed. His prayer was for healing, and he was healed. He got 15 more years. But they weren't as good as his first 15. He became proud and hard-hearted about the future and had a terrible son. So what are we to learn? First, we'll learn this. God's ear is open to his people. We saw with Paul, he didn't heal Paul, but he gave Paul an answer that Paul understood. And with Hezekiah, he did heal Hezekiah. And so his ear is open to you. Make your requests known to God. Secondly, we see that God can heal. He is willing to heal. He's willing to reverse his own word in order to heal. Now, whether he will is up to God. This is not magic. It is not up to you to pray fervently enough, and if you have enough faith, then you'll be healed. No, that makes us in the driver's seat. Makes God someone that we manipulate. It'll be up to God what he does. But he can. So we can pray, and we should be ready for a yes as well as ready for a no. So you may pray for healing, and if you want it, I think you should. You may ask the elders to come and anoint you with oil and pray over you. We haven't done that, but it's right in Scripture, so I can't see us saying no. We wouldn't come and do that. That won't be magic either. God can hear that prayer. God hears all prayers, and he can answer it with a yes or with a no. We should notice that doing God, you might say, faithful service does not guarantee us a long lifespan or easy times. Hezekiah had done wonderful service, and he faces very difficult times. So we understand that the service we give to God and the ease or difficulty of our lives are not linked. Not the one way or the other way. These are things that God determines according to his own will. And we need to beware. Hezekiah was the best king to start. But he comes to a muddled finish. Extra time may not be a blessing. We have to remain humble and contrite and meek. Because that's who God is close to. Close to the one who is meek and contrite in spirit. And if those are words that don't describe you, you should be frightened. Because that's who God says is blessed. Hezekiah's loss of humility hurt his kingdom far more than his illness ever did. So we should keep in mind what the real dangers are and remember the dangers of misplaced heart and spirit. So when you're sick, pray for healing and go to the doctor. These are not opposed things. They're to be complementary things. When you're sick, pray for healing. But when you're alive, pray for humility. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to be humble and to remain humble. Help us not to be exalted by your favors to us. Help us to be exalted in praise to you. Help us to be exalted in faith, but not exalted in our own eyes, in our own estimation. So Lord, we pray that we would make all our requests known to you. And we pray for those who are ill. We pray for Archie and Coldenham. Lord, we pray for Nita and for others who are ill, that you would give healing, that you would strengthen them. And we pray that at all times we would keep our eyes fixed firmly on you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.